Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in the hot seat for Niall Boylan. Now, my special guest tonight is here to talk about something that many of us have faced, that gut-wrenching feeling of dreading work. Whether it's feeling undervalued, overworked, or just plain unhappy, knowing when to move on from a job can be tough. Catherine Kelly Mason from Southeast Technological University has recently written an article for RTE Brainstorm. In it, she explores the warning signs that your job might not be the right fit, the impact on your health, and how to make the right career decisions without risking financial disaster. So how do you know if your job is just a rough patch or if it's time to go? And if you do decide to leave, what's the smartest way to do it? Catherine is here to share her insights and help us to figure it all out. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks a million, AJ.
No problem. Tell me a bit about your background and why you know so much about this particular topic.
I suppose my background originally is nursing, and I worked in the disability sector for a number of years. And I have been very lucky in the last two jobs, in the last job I had and the job I'm currently in. They've been brilliant places to work where really match my values. So I worked in Walk, an organisation that supports people with disabilities, and now in SETU. But prior to that, I probably worked in places where I had that gut-wrenching feeling going to work, where I wasn't sure where my values were aligned and where I was constantly saying, do I not like this job? Or maybe it's the organisation, or maybe I chose the wrong career. And I suppose having done my master's in leadership and management and gone on and interviewed for my PhD women CEOs, and finding out that lots of women CEOs actually want to step down and find the job really, really lonely once they reach the pinnacle of their careers. They say it's not for them, it's too stressful. Especially in the healthcare sector with over-regulation, you probably don't get to spend much time now with patients as you did in the past, which is when we go into healthcare, what we all want to do is spend time and develop relationships. And a lot of that, I suppose, we can't do anymore because of ticking boxes in offices. So I suppose that's where it all came from. So, and a lot of people talk to me about being stuck in the wrong job all of the time, and they talk about the anxiousness and the anxiety and everything they feel. So it was interesting to look into this as an article.
So you mentioned there about in healthcare settings and people feeling that it's not right for them. Are there other particular industries or professions where you find that people are very unhappy in their jobs?
So I suppose it's not in a particular setting as such, but I suppose it's where there's high pressure jobs. So they might talk, in fact, about, you know, a values misalignment, for example, if you're working in a high pressure sales role and you're constantly under pressure to reach your targets. And I suppose if you want to sell the best possible products to the customer, but actually at the end of the day, your boss just wants you to make money, well, then that can come between people and their sleep. They can find that difficult. Tech companies, they report, you know, that high pressured again, maybe limited control over what people do in their job. If you have no autonomy, if you're feeling bullied, if you're feeling lonely. So it's not specific to a sector. And in every sector, there are people that absolutely love their job and there are people that don't. And I suppose there are sort of, you're looking to find out in the organisation you're in, is it a good culture or is it a toxic culture? You know, is there persistent negativity? Is bullying happened? Are people belittled? And, you know, a lot of this can come from poor leadership and management practices. And, you know, if you feel that your optimism is being drained or your morale is going down, well, then kind of it's time to look and see whether the job is right for you or not. And I suppose, AJ, it's really interesting because obviously I come from a nursing background, so I'm always interested in what affects people's physical and mental health. And actually, if you're in the wrong job and you're feeling burnt out, stressed and have anxiety levels, then you're 23% higher chance of experiencing coronary heart disease, such as heart attacks and even including heart-related deaths. And you're 27% higher risk of developing clinically diagnosed depression. And they're very stark statistics. And I suppose we spend so long in work that it's really pivotal that we're in a job we don't get stuck in. And the problem is, the older you get, the quicker the years go, and suddenly you're in a job 20 years. And are you still satisfied, stretched in that job? And people find it very, very hard to move. And so that's why the article was basically, you know, are you stuck in the wrong job?
Okay. I mean, what you're saying there is awful, because it sounded like it can really affect your, not only your mental health, but your physical health as well. You know, like heart attacks. It's just crazy to hear. So how do you differentiate between a bad day or a bad week at work, or maybe even a bad month at work, and actually a toxic job?
Yeah, so I suppose we all have a really bad day in work, and that's normal. But if you're continually and persistently struggling to remain committed, motivated, or a huge one is to remain energised about work, then it's probably a good time to take stock of where you are and figure out if you're in the right job or the right organisation or in the right career trajectory. And are you experiencing any signs and symptoms of burnout? Do you have that constant dread about going to work? You know, are you, do you have sleep disturbances, chronic headaches, pains in your stomach, aches? In your job, do the bad days outweigh the good days? Is it having a negative impact on your physical health, on your home life, on your mental health? Do you absolutely dread going to work? And has work become the enemy is the question I would ask. You're looking at stuff like, do you feel undervalued, underappreciated? Are you lonely in work? You know, are you the one left out of everything? Are you not on that WhatsApp group? Have you not been able to develop relationships in work? Because, you know, As individuals, we all want to be part of a group and we all want to belong. And work, because we're in it for such a long period, is where we really want to be seen as a as an equal colleague to somebody else. So what does your relationship look like in work is really, really important.
So that was actually going to be my next question about workplace culture. So workplace culture is very important for job satisfaction.
Yeah, and I suppose it's the importance of defining what the culture is in an organisation. And I suppose what we see an awful lot is you going to apply for a job in an organisation, and you might read, well, you hopefully read their website, where you look at, you know, their vision, their mission, their values and their culture. But when you walk in, is that culture that you experience? You know, is there an openness? Is there a supportive nature? Is it collegial? Do one another help and support one another? Or is it a toxic culture? Because sometimes we can have a formal culture, how we present, you know, and then internally it's very, very different of what people actually experience. So it's really important to know what culture it's in. And we know that one or two people can change a culture negatively or positively within an organisation. And it can depend where, you know, key people are. So the leadership and the management and ensuring that culture is steady is really, really important, or else it does have a real negative effect on people. Now, to be clear, it's not always an organisation's fault. Sometimes as employees, it's not the career we actually want, or sometimes the organisation has done everything, but beyond the organisation's control, they might work in a sector, as I said earlier, where they're overregulated or where there's a lack of resources or funding, and their constant stress is striving to achieve that, and it's not actually the stress within the organisation. And also as employees, I suppose, we have a responsibility for our own health and welfare. So that's really, really important too, to kind of look within ourselves and then see where the problem is, to talk to family and friends about it. And obviously not to make, you know, a crazy decision one day to just quit. So they talk about this revenge quitting, or that Hollywood where you quit your job moment, because you don't want to move for a situation where you're stressed and anxious and suffering from mental and physical health issues because of your job, to being financially stressed because you can't pay the mortgage. So it is also much easier to get a job if you have a job, so that we know that, you know, quitting your job, the further you remove from the labour market, the harder it is to get a job. And if you want to quit your job, just make sure you have a clear career strategy. And that might be talking to family and friends, it might be talking to colleagues in other organisations, or it might be even seeking career guidance. Sometimes it's good for us, no matter what age we are, to go back and seek career guidance. And I suppose the other thing, AJ, is that, you know, a job that was a job for us when we're younger is not necessarily a job for us when we're older. So, you know, when you're younger, you might be willing to travel a
things
lot.
Things change, what, you change, your situation yeah. changes, family commitments change, everything changes.
Absolutely. And I suppose Irish culture has also changed. So, you know, I remember telling my parents I was leaving a full-time permanent job I had. And they were shocked.
Yeah.
But I was going to another
generation.
Full-time permanent job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we had jobs back then, but now we talk about careers. And just because you have one career doesn't mean that you have to stay in that career. You can
constantly
change.
But that's what's changing a lot now, Catherine, I've noticed. People are changing careers, whereas before people would stay in the same job with the same career for their whole entire life up until retirement. And now it's people yeah. are doing different things and it is possible to do that. So, I mean, would that be one of your practical your tips for somebody if you're thinking that you're in a toxic role is to go and investigate all of this sort of thing before moving on to something else?
Absolutely. Go and get career guidance or see what sort of job you really, really want and maybe upskill yourself. And many organisations offer you the opportunity to upskill yourself while you're there or maybe do further education. But really look, really take the time to look and see what you want. I also think if you're stuck in a job for a number of years and you leave it, you're more likely to leave it again if it's not the right one for you as well. So it becomes easier after you make the first kind of initial move, but you don't want to go from the frying pan into the fire. So that would be where you have a real clear strategy on what you want and where you're going. And it's always good to talk it out and even map it out. And, you know, if you're, say, you know, your career is nursing, well, you know, what do you need to do to get there? Or if it's social care or if it's working in tourism, what are the next steps for you to get there? What's going to help you in an interview? And it's even going back to learn to do interview skills again, you know, or even getting someone to look at your CV. You mightn't have changed it in 20 years. And now there's a new type of CV. And then people are getting used to again now where we interview online. Most interviews now are taking place online, whereas, you know, it was on a one-to-one basis. So it's learning all them new skills and being very comfortable. And then, you know, taking on that new job, that new role. But because we spend so much time in work, you really want to be stretched in work, challenged in work and excited about your job. And I suppose the huge thing is you need to have autonomy and control, not over everything within your job, but over certain things. You know, if you couldn't pick, AJ, who was coming on your show or what music to play, it would be a hard job to show your individuality, you know, as a presenter. So it's having that control and autonomy is really, really important.
Thanks, Catherine. You're giving me advice as well. Catherine, stay with me. I have to go to the ads. It's only a short ad break. I feel really rude doing this when we're in the middle of an interview, but I have to go to the ads and I'll be back in just a second. Thanks, Catherine.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan. Got an opinion?
Hello.
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
You know, it's always handy to have your passport at the ready because Sarah Slattery and Ed Finn are in studio every Thursday talking travel. They've got the inside info on the best places to go, the best value to be had, and they'll even tell you what to pack. That's every Thursday talking travel on Ireland's classic hits radio.
With Visit New Jersey Travel and Tourism. Discover stunning beaches, boardwalks, cultural cities, spectacular shopping meccas, and of course the Jersey Shore. The Garden State awaits at visitnj.org/ie.
Make a break for Wexford this Easter and make memories to cherish at the Riverside Park Hotel. Our Easter family breaks are not only great fun, they're also great value too. The Riverside Park Hotel offers spacious family rooms, a choice of restaurants, a kids club, playground and pool, and we've Wexford's ancient castles, secret gardens, heritage park and hidden beaches right on our doorstep. Plan your break today at riversideparkhotel.com.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I'm speaking with Catherine Kelly Mason, who has written an article for RTE Brainstorm. She's from Southeast Technological University and she is talking about that feeling of dreading work and when to know when to leave your job and when to start a new career. Now, we did have a text in saying, AJ, she hit the nail on the head there, not spending enough time with patients. That's obviously somebody who works in healthcare, Catherine, and she's agreeing with you. Yeah. that people, you know, with the box ticking and everything like that, and not being able to spend enough time when you're working in the healthcare industry with patients, because that's what you, you took on the job for. So that may lead to, you know, upset within within your career. Now, I wanted to move on, and you were saying there about interview skills and CV and all of these things that people might need to learn if they are thinking of changing career, but it is possible to do.
Absolutely, it is. And sometimes if you're stuck in a job for a long period of time, I suppose the concern is that maybe your confidence has been, confidence has been diminished. So you really need to even start building yourself up from a personal point of view. But absolutely, and there should be no age limit really on changing your career. But it really is a case of, you know, there's lots of books out there on find out what your hobby is and make that your job. Well, that's not always going to work. But find out what you love and what you enjoy doing. And I suppose I spent a lot of my life within disability services, supporting people with intellectual disability into employment. And I think the greatest joy comes when you unlock potential and when you actually have a fit and you see the job that really is there for you. And when we were younger, we all did loads of jobs that we didn't necessarily like. And I suppose every job, I always say you get a golden nugget from. You learn really good practices, and sometimes you see practices that you're not very comfortable or very happy with. It's thinking about all of them golden nuggets and finding what does an organisation that has loads of golden nuggets look like for me? And that's really, really important. But also important is building that confidence back in yourself, becoming self-assured again, changing any negative talk you had, and then upskilling yourself in how to get a CV together, interview skills, and going for the career you want. And whether that's further education, training, whatever it is, going for that and getting your life balance back, because being happy in work is being happy at home as well.
Now, going back to talking about burnout, is burnout always a sign that someone should leave their job, or is it something that maybe you could try and manage first?
Yeah, if it's got to burnout, I suppose you would be concerned. Well, you would hope that there would be, you know, there's a proactive route in place. And that is where, you know, if you notice a problem in work, obviously you talk to your boss if you can about what's going on and what you're experiencing. And you look for support from your colleagues in it. You try and figure out a best way of dealing with something. And that should always be your first port of call. And, you know, it's also about doing self-reflection. So a huge piece of work as, you know, a professional is we are responsible for our own health and safety. And it really is sometimes self-reflecting on, you know, if I'm in a conflict situation, was I the correct person in that, or could I have dealt with it differently, or how could I learn, or how could I grow? And it also depends on the stage you are in your life. Sometimes when we're young, our emotional intelligence hasn't developed as much as how we would deal with a situation when we're that bit older and maybe more mature. So it's a lot of introspection, it's a lot of looking at ourselves, but it's also looking at the organisation and seeing whether it is aligned to what you want in your life. But the first step always being talk to a manager, talk to a leader, talk to your colleagues, and be very clear, because sometimes people don't know what they don't know. So sometimes, you know, there's a thing called a psychological contract, and that's when we start in a job subconsciously. We think something is going to be a particular way. And if it doesn't happen that way, we become upset. But obviously, our leader doesn't know what's going on in our subconscious. So you have to put that out into the ether, and you have to discuss it, and you have to communicate it. So open communication sometimes can prevent any type of burnout in work. Absolutely. And there's loads of strategies that leaders will put in place to prevent burnout and stress. And especially in the healthcare sector, that is really, really recognised. So there's brilliant organisations out there that really, really support their staff, and really, really important, because there are lots of high stress jobs out there.
And I was going to ask you that next, actually. What advice would you give to employers to create healthier work environments to prevent employees feeling this way?
Yeah, I suppose it's probably about appointing really good leaders who have really good competencies and really good person skills, because the huge thing here is the relationship that the leader has with employees. being able to talk to him both formally and informally in a professional manner and being able to sort out problems before they come to the fore. I think, you know, one of the things that I would have supported an organisation to do was to develop a culture charter. So it's where a team sits down and they write down basically how they would like to be treated by one another. You know, so it talks about respect, dignity, patience. It talks about the grapevine, you know, that informal communication that can be very hurtful. And it puts things out in the open so people agree how they want to be treated within the workplace. They're all really, really great strategies. Having team building days are really, really important. Having an open door policy where employees can come in if they have a problem or lift up a phone to you and that you're actually available to them to talk to them. And then I suppose I see now more and more, and I think it's fabulous, we have, you know, culture and people, equality, diversity and inclusion, positions in organisations where they support developing people and developing cultures. I think, you know, good performance management systems, really, really important in terms of, you know, stretching. You know, employees want to learn, they want to grow, they want to develop. And it's given them the opportunity to do that within a job. It's also, you know, employers being able to recognise potential and being able to support the growth of employees so that they reach it. And it is just being there and being aware and being available. And it's also recognising that in some jobs, there are really, really difficult moments and critical times in jobs. I go back to healthcare again because I know it so well, but, you know, someone could pass away and die on a ward or die in a community house and staff may have worked with them for years and years. And it's putting in the right supports for the other service users that would live with them individuals and also for the staff for the loss that happens at that time. So they're critical things that organisations can do that should never be overlooked. And really it is a human interaction that is just so important.
And just in terms of now people feeling burnt out or suffering from burnout, do you think that having constant access, your job has constant access to you in terms of you have emails pinging on your phone, you have WhatsApp groups, you have WhatsApp messages, is that contributing to people feeling burnt out with their jobs?
Absolutely. There is no doubt it is. And I think we lost and certainly maybe through COVID as well, we lost where you turn off your phone at a certain time. And I think the importance of in a job of maybe having two phones, one is a work phone and that gets shut off when work is finished, and the other is a home phone, can be really, really important. It always depends on what job you're in. And I suppose when I was interviewing the CEOs that worked in the social care sector supporting people with intellectual disabilities, the whole stress that they suffered, they were never off call. They were on call 365 days all of the time. Something happened. Now, they might not be wrong all of the time, but they always had their phone with them just in case.
They were always on alert.
They're always on alert because the buck stops with them and it's a really high pressure job. And that's the importance sometimes of saying, so, you know, the majority of CEOs I spoke to said they would do the job for 5 years and then they would step down. They're not able for the stress and pressure of it constantly in their lives, which is a very strategic decision that they were making. So I think you really do have to be careful what you end up doing. And sometimes what we see happening is, it's actually the really, really good staff that leaders go back to and ask to do more and more tasks because they'll know it'll get done and it'll get done well, as opposed to the person that doesn't really do that much can tend to get away with more because they're less likely to be asked because, you know, what you get back actually won't be of high quality. You know, so we tend to burn out the really, really good people, which is something we need to be really, really careful in. And then, you know, I suppose you also see in organisations where, you know, the leaders don't take their holidays. And that's never good for employees, because then subconsciously there's a thing, well, if they don't take theirs, even though I take mine, should I be or should I not be? You know, so it's important that leaders give them boundaries as well. When you're on holidays, you're on holidays. When it's the evening time, it's the evening time. Except, obviously, there's always going to be, you know, exceptional circumstances. But that in the whole, that's what happens, is really, really important for yourself. And that's a self-discipline. That's a self-discipline I'm not good at.
No, I'm not good at that at all. You know, no.
Yeah, no, I'm not. And I'd have to be honest. So, like, I'm not saying this as if this is all best practice.
It's not perfection. It's just these are the guidelines. Yes. This is what we're aiming for. We're aiming for perfection, but we'll seldom get there.
Yeah. Can I just ask with what we are?
Exactly. Yeah. What resources then would you recommend for people who are looking for a career transition, who are listening tonight and saying, "Yeah, you know, this is for me. I'm needing to move on." Where would you tell these people to go? Where's the resources?
Well, I would just say start with themselves first, to be honest, because it depends on what they're looking for. You know, within their own industry, it will be talking to other people in different organisations. I would say to people, like, where I get my information is to them networks that you have that are in work. So, you know, you meet someone and they're in a different job and they're in a completely different role and they're really, really happy in that. Like, there's career guidance if you Google it and you can get career guidance. There's no one I would particularly recommend. But really, I think it's starting with yourself. It's because there are, you know, and it's beginning to also look at the jobs that are out there. So sometimes you mightn't even have considered different types of jobs that you might be skilled in because you got stuck in a particular job. So I would download and start to look at jobs that are coming up and do you have the skills for that? But I would start with myself now, and that's being honest. And I would start and I would say, OK, what do I need? What do I want? What do I really enjoy? What are the different tasks and work I love? What do I not enjoy? What would a great career look like for me? And you might even get, you know, a job coach to support somebody to do that. So there's plenty of consultants out there that do job coaching as well that will sit and tease this out with somebody of how they can look at, a different job into the future. And it mightn't even just be a different career. It could be a different organisation. You know, or could be a different role in an organisation. Sometimes we might not want to go upwards, but we might want to go sideways within an organisation to something completely different.
Well, I think it's really refreshing to know that things have changed and we don't have to stay where we're not happy or where we're suffering from burnout and we don't have to put up with it. You know, we can move on. So that's great. Thank you so much for your time tonight. That's Catherine Kelly Mason from Southeast Technological University. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.